When Robbie was a small boy, he used to watch the older fellows down by the park where he lived. In fact, his house was right on the same street in which the park was. He had to go by this certain area every day on his way to school, and also on his way to Sunday school, which was close to his own elementary school. Now, Robbie, he was kind of small for his age, and so he was usually kept away from playing with the other fellows who were maybe a little bit older. What I'm talking about is a special little place here. There was a creek running in this park, and in the creek there was several places called water holes where the fellows used to dive in and swim. It was extra deep there. Some of it was 8 and 9 feet deep in these holes. And there was one particular place there where there was a tree hanging over one of these water holes. And from the tree there hung a heavy hemp rope. The rope was knotted in many places on it so a person could get a handhold on it. There was a steep bank on one side, and down below was this water, the deep, deep water pool. And on the other side, there was another bank. It was a sort of a narrow water hole. Yet the fellows would have fun taking a hold of this rope on one side and swinging across and landing on the other side of the creek. Because it was deep water, they didn't want to fall. And so they'd take a run and take the rope and swing, just like you've seen Tarzan do it. And they'd swing around to the other side and let go and land and give the rope a push so the fellow on the other side could grab it. Then the other fellow would grab the rope and with a run, jump, and swing across the water hole, very close to the water, and back up on the other side. Let go, and then give the rope a push again. This meant that one of the fellows would have to climb this tree on the side and try to get a hold of the rope and then carry the rope down with him as he went down the tree, and so he'd hold on to the rope. And it was kind of a hard job, so very careful not to let this happen. And when they got through it playing, they would tie a rope to the side of the tree. Now, Robbie used to watch this, and he wished he could do that. Once in a while, he'd say, "Lemme, fellas." And they'd say, "Come on, Robbie, you're too small for this thing. You can't do it. You might swing through the center and not hit the other side, and it would have to come back, and then you wouldn't land on the other side. And gradually, you'd have to fall in the water." And so, "Let me try it, just once." But they never would let him try it. You know how older boys are with younger fellows. They don't let him try anything. And so Robbie thought, "Boy, one of these days I'm going to get a hold, and I'm going to go across there when I get big." And he kept thinking about that. Every time he went to school, he saw that tree with the rope tied against it, and he wondered how it would be if he was to grab a hold of that rope. But he's always on his way to school, and so he didn't have time. And when he come back from school, there were usually a bunch of boys playing on this rope. They wouldn't let him get anywhere near it. Well, as I said, Sunday school was on the same road going to his school, but his church school was a little bit beyond that. And one Sunday, his mother said, "Well, Robbie, you better get ready for Sunday school." Robbie says, "Oh, Ma, do I have to go?" "Why, sure, Robbie. Everybody's supposed to go to Sunday school. Got to learn about God as well as learn about the other parts of the things." Well, Robbie was in kind of a stubborn mood, but he went anyway. He picked up his lesson papers and he walked on his way. Doggone, everyday school, he was thinking. All the time I've got to go to some kind of a school. And he was kind of kicking the dust and kicking things as he went on his way. But it was nice, a nice day, and the sun was shining, and kind of bright, and he thought, gee, isn't this, why should I have to go? Well, you know, this all it took, the old devil working, you know. And he went by this place where this tree, and there was a rope. He looked around, there was nobody. Kind of unusual, he thought. He went up to the rope and he touched it with his hand, felt it, and he saw it was tied. And so he untied it, and he got a hold of it, and there was a big heavy ball on the bottom. It was tied into sort of a heavy ball, so a guy could put his feet on there. And he looked at the ropes with the knots above, and he tried it with his hand, and he thought, hey, I bet you I could do this. I bet I could swing out there. But he remembered he couldn't swim. Besides, that was deep water, and he was going to Sunday school. He fondled the rope and the ball, and he thought, oh, I'm going to try it. No, better not do it. He doesn't know how. There's nobody here. What if, well, who cares? I can make it. It'll just swing out, and I'll swing back and let go. And then he'll lose the rope. That's all right. That serve him right for causing me all this trouble, Robbie thought. So he took hold of the rope, and his hand was sort of trembling because this was his first time. He never tried anything like this before. He got a good grip on the rope, just like he saw the boys do, and still, he was a little bit afraid. Maybe better not try it. It's kind of risky. Oh, what could happen, he thought. What if I swim out and then come back and then let go real quick? I'll land on a bank. Well, he held on the rope again. His hand sort of sweated a little bit because it's a little bit new. What if those fellows would see him doing this, and maybe they'd let him even do this after a while if they saw he could do this. So he just sort of grabbed a hold of himself, and he took a hold of the rope and swung out, and the wind blew through his hair and through his clothes, and out he went, and he swung way over the water. He could see it, and he just skimmed the top of the water. And then up the other side, and then he didn't let go. No, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to swing back. And he swung back, but you know, he didn't realize it didn't swing back as far. He was going to let go, but no, it was too steep a bank. Then it swung back the other side again. He was going to let go on the other side, but no, it wasn't quite to the land anymore. It was still over the water by the time it swung. Then it swung back again, not quite the other side, back again. Each time the swing got smaller and smaller. Tommy was scared. His feet were on the bottom of that big ball, and his other hands were holding on the knots. Back and forth it swung, back and forth. Slowly but surely it stopped right in the center. He looked down, he could see the water. He looked deep, looked on one shore, and the other was maybe 12, 13 feet to each side, deep water. He held on. He didn't know what to do. There he was. He thought, well, maybe if I climbed the rope on the knots. So he started to pull himself up. Well, the knots weren't quite spaced right for his small arms. He couldn't reach the other knot, and then the other knot above it. He got up a little bit, but his hand started to tremble again. He let himself down on that big ball on the bottom. He thought to himself, what am I going to do? Here I am. And he started to whimper a little bit. Started cry to himself. And he said, oh, why did I do this? He started, thought, well, maybe if I pray, maybe God, no, but he didn't even go to Sunday school. How would God even want to pay any attention to him? And he heard a verse that the teacher said, call upon me and I will answer. He thought, well, I'll do that. And he closed his eyes, and with tears running down, he says, oh, God, help me. I can't swing this rope. Please, in Jesus' name. And again, he kind of crying for, Ma, oh, Ma, somebody help me. Lord, help me. Oh, it was just sit there. Just sit there. Well, he's going to have to let go pretty soon. His hands were sweated and they were getting weak and his feet were trembling on the bottom of this rope and they're starting to get weak. Oh, well, just a question of how long would he be able to hang on? He thought, well, nobody's going to help me. Nobody's going to help him. Not even God. Just then, he heard, so, hey, young fellow, what are you doing down there? And he looked up and he saw an old gentleman. He'd never seen him before. He said, what are you doing, son? I'm stuck. I can't get it back. He says, boy, you are. You really are. And you can't swim, I'll bet. He says, well, I'll have to do something for you. And he looked around. He's an old fellow. Oh, maybe white hair. He wore nice clothes like he was going to church. And he got down there and he down there by the bank and he looked around for something. He says, boy, I'm going to have to do something for you. I'm too weak to do anything for you, boy, but can you hang on? Yes, sir. He looked around, all around he could find. He tried to reach out with his umbrella. He had one of those umbrellas with the hooks on it. But it wouldn't reach. Boy, he says, I can't get you. And he kept looking up and down, and finally he spied something. Right in his side there was a long bamboo pole. It was a fishing pole. It looked like somebody had just pushed it to one side. It was sturdy. It was about 10 foot long. He grabbed it quickly. He took the 10-foot pole, and he said, Rob, boy, can you get a hold of this? And the old gentleman was hanging on to the base of the tree, one of the roots, and he held his arm way out, and Robbie got a hold of the stick, the long stick. Well, what can you do now? He says, fellow, he says, all I can see is if you let go and hang on to this stick, I'll be able to pull you in. Can you do that? I was just, yes, I guess so. He said, let go then. Hold on to the stick. And he let go and into the water. It was cold. And he held on, though. The old gentleman pulled on the stick, pulled on it. Raleigh could see he was coming closer and closer to shore. His head a couple of times went underneath the water. But he got closer and closer to shore, and then he scrambled up on his side on the roots, dragged him up on the top. The old gentleman says, you know, I never come down this way, but I thought it would be kind of nice to see this old park here. I guess maybe somebody, and Robbie says, do you think maybe God told you to come down here and help me? The old gentleman replied, you know, I believe he did. It had been a very warm day for September, but now the breeze had set, and a slight breeze had cooled the twilight air as Jay Carlson started walking. He'd been doing a lot of walking lately, and usually at night. It was the best time for thinking, and Jay had a lot of that to do. During the summer, his life had been changed, and now he was a different person. A lot of things he used to do no longer appealed to him. It might be rough when the older guys at school found out, but they would find out, for Jay planned to tell them about his experience with Jesus Christ himself. Sure, they'd laugh at first. He expected that. He would laugh, too, if Hank or Shorty or Moose had started to spot religion last year. But that was before Jay heard about Mike Marlin speak. It was weird the way it happened. He had been visiting his cousin in Claremont, about 20 miles away. When she had invited him to go to a party, Jay shrugged, "Why not?" It was the most unusual party he'd ever been to. The kids were sitting around, singing songs, and they weren't pop songs that Jay was used to hearing. Every single one of them mentioned God or Jesus. Jay fell out of it. When Mike Marlin was introduced, and Mike was a big, good-looking guy with shoulders like an All-American, he didn't look like anybody Jay would even expect to see at a religious meeting, much less speaking at one. He talked about Jesus Christ, Jay had never heard about before. He talked about a man who could change lives today even though he had lived nearly 2,000 years ago. For some reason, he didn't understand it at the time. Jay couldn't leave when the party was over. He hung around until he could speak to Mike alone. Mike answered every question that Jay threw at him. Finally, Jay swallowed, looked Mike straight in the eye and said, "I'm ready." Then they prayed together and Jay accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jay smiled as he continued walking. He was in the business district now. Mike had warned him that the Christian life was not without problems, but so far, Jay hadn't come across any. He was reading the book of John in the Bible, as Mike had recommended, and he was praying. Anything Mike had said was it, as far as he was concerned. If it hadn't been for Mike, Jay didn't complete the thought. Instead, he stopped right there and was staring through a window. At first glance, it looked like Mike Marlin standing at the counter of a liquor store, a six-pack in front of him. Jay moved slightly to get a better look. It was Mike, and a knot formed in his stomach as Mike pointed toward a cigarette rack. He turned and he started walking home. Less than 2 minutes before, he had been floating, so happy to be a Christian he couldn't describe it. Now he'd come back to earth with a thud. The knot inside of his stomach grew and Jay felt a little sick. Was Christianity just a game to be played on certain occasions, such as meeting or church? Mike talked about becoming a new creation and his life being transformed through Jesus Christ. But there he was, buying beer and cigarettes just like anybody else. Jay frowned. Mike had said Jesus could fulfill any guy's needs. He talked a lot that night in Claremont, and Jay had believed every word. "It's just lucky I haven't shot off my mouth at school yet," he said to himself. But thinking like that made him feel uncomfortable. He was different. No matter how much the phony Mike turned out to be, and everything he had read in the Bible told him he was a Christian. It reassured him, but Jay was still confused and frustrated as he started across the street. A car blared. "Hey, be careful," the driver yelled. "I almost hit you." Jay shrugged and hurried out of the street. "Hey, Jay Carson, is that you?" Jay looked at the driver of the car. It was Mike. He pulled over to the curb and got out. "Man, great to see you again, Mike began, sticking out his hand to grab Jay's. It was the same dynamic Mike that Jay had remembered so exactly, but he didn't impress him this time. Yeah, thanks, he said. Nice to see you, too. I sure didn't think I'd run into you anybody I knew tonight. I guess not. I'm on my way back from a speaking edit retreat, he said. Wished you could have been there. We had decisions for Christ every night. It was wonderful. Good. How have you been since I seen you last? Growing? Nope, just 5'8". Mike laughed. I mean, spiritually. The important kind of a growth for a Christian. Been reading the Bible, going to church? Jay nodded. Glad to hear it. That's one hang-up in traveling around like I do, speaking in all places. I never really get to know the kids who accept Christ, and then so often I run into one of them who made a decision, but sort of forgot about it. I haven't forgotten anything. Great, said Mike. Just remember that Christ is the answer to everything, including the simple problems. Jay had been watching Mike as he spoke. His excitement and power in his voice was no different. If Jay hadn't seen him in the liquor store, he just had to know the truth. Was Mike a phony or not? Could he just turn on his Christianity for all? What about drinking? Jay heard him say, drinking, huh? And smoking. Is there anything wrong with a Christian drinking? Just beer, for instance, or smoking? Mike studied Jay for a moment. He said, if you want my personal opinion based on what I've read in the Bible, a Christian shouldn't drink or smoke or do anything that might hurt his testimony for somebody else. I didn't know you had this problem, Jay. Have you prayed about it? Mike said exactly what Jay wanted to say, and he had trapped himself, but he didn't feel happy about it. Here was the guy who told him about Jesus Christ. The guy Jay had respected and looked up so much, and he was a fake. I saw you in the liquor store, Jay blurted, his voice quivering. What? Back there just a few minutes ago. You were buying a six-pack and beer and cigarettes. Oh, that. Mike grinned. He opened the door and grabbed the six-pack off the front seat. See, it's just pop. The man put it in the beer container to make it easier to carry. And this candy bar must be the cigarettes you saw. Had your eyes checked lately? Jay blushed. Boy, do I feel dumb. I was almost ready to throw out Christianity when I saw you in there. But then I realized that I have still something I didn't have before, and it had nothing to do with you. You know, Jay, I have my faults like anybody else. They just don't have to be drinking or smoking or any of the obvious ones. But if you keep your eye on Christ and not on some individual, you'll be okay. Makes sense, Jay admitted. And that's the last time I'll go into a liquor store for any reason, Mike said. I only did it because I needed something to wake me up. I didn't figure I knew anybody up here in the sticks. Up where? Mike laughed, sorry. Can I drop you someplace? An hour before, Jay would have agreed quickly. Anything to spend a little more time with Mike. He shook his head. Mike was a great guy, but he had been replaced as Jay's hero. Okay, Mike, he said, but I could walk with Christ.